Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to the show. Today is Tuesday, December 16th. Welcome to the show. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
We have another rainy day in LA, but we're not going to talk about the weather anymore because you know what? I listen to past shows and nobody cares, right?
Right.
So it just matters now.
Right. So, and only to us in LA.
Exactly. And we can't keep talking about it because we're getting more rainy days, which is a good thing.
Yep.
So that's all we're going to say about that. We have a couple of great guests in the studio. We'll get to them in a few minutes. And how's your week going, Jen?
It's going really well, I would say.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You going to parties yet?
Or? I have one tonight.
Oh, cool.
Last night I watched a screener.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, us in LA, we get movies early. And
I guess we do.
We get really excited about watching them from home.
Yeah.
I watched American Sniper last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was it good?
It was great.
That's with Bradley Cooper, right?
Yes. My one complaint about the film was there was like fake babies used.
Really?
These real babies. And you could tell
that
they were obviously not real babies.
Really?
They were like dolls that were sort of just being flung around by Bradley Cooper. It's like, if the main actor in a movie is holding a baby, you'd think that it would be a real one.
Right.
Because it's on him. So, I don't know.
Right. But well, it depends what the scene was, right? I mean, did it require
him holding
any action?
His child.
That's all.
The newborn.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And it was like, throw it over his shoulder.
Because in the Exodus movie, they also had the Pharaoh's baby. You could tell, well, sometimes it was real when they would show it in close-up, but sometimes it was fake, and you could tell it was fake, but it's also scenes where you wouldn't put a baby in, you know?
Right.
So,
but also with, like, modern technology and all the things they do to movies that make them look the way they look, you'd think you'd get a real baby, at least, or something that looks more real than whatever you found on
something that
the
looks
street.
Real, right?
Yeah. It's like a cabbage patch they used as a child. I don't understand.
So it is a military movie, right?
Yeah.
Obviously. Where does it take place? In Afghanistan or something?
Iraq.
In Iraq?
I believe. And,
oh, wow.
Sorry if I'm wrong. But
okay, that's okay. It all sounds the same from here.
I didn't know the story of the American Sniper because there was a book that came out and that's why they made it a movie. But I was watching with my best friend and her boyfriend walks in and he's like, oh, yeah, he dies. And we're like, what? What?
Yeah, why do we want to know that? Right?
He had survived until then in the movie when everyone else was getting killed. So we're like, no, we thought he was going to live and the story was about his like survival.
Right.
Nope. So then the rest of the movie we spent waiting for him to die.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
What a spoiler that is.
On the edge
of
our seat, we're just like, is it going to happen now? Is it going to happen now? And then he just died at the end.
Wow.
Yeah. Still a great movie, though.
You must have wanted to kill him when he gave away that.
But he's like, it's public knowledge. You guys should really know these things. We were pretty upset. Still a good film. Everyone go see it.
Yeah, so you liked it.
Yeah. I like movies based on a true story.
Yeah. So how did you get a screener? I mean, are you like part of the guild or anything?
I am. But
really?
I actually didn't get it because I don't think I've paid my dues. But
Someone else did.
My best friend works at Twitter, and I probably shouldn't say these things out loud, but she got them somehow through someone else.
Right.
And we have all of them now.
Yeah, that's cool. I mean, yeah, they go all around this town, you know. It's not that hard to get a hold of them. But not to say that it's not cool to, you know. I mean, I don't get any of them. But I don't really have the need to see these movies either. You know,
there's
I can
so
see them
many.
In the theater. I know. They're like, they haven't announced for the Academy Awards yet, though, right?
No.
Only for the Golden Globes and those.
And SAG Awards.
And SAG Awards, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they usually have like drama movies that are, you know, we were talking about that yesterday. And for the most part, they don't really grab me. I don't know. You know.
No? What kind of movies do you like? Well, you saw Exodus.
Yeah, I did. So obviously, I like action movies like most guys do.
Yeah.
And
American Sniper's action.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'll probably see that. But there's some movies that are like too slow for me. You know, I mean, a lot of talking and things. And I mean, I love some dramas. They're cool, you know. But I like movies that have like twists and things that are unexpected. Like The Matrix is my favorite movie. I don't know if you got to see it. But
oh, yeah.
Yeah, did mm-hmm. you? Well, the first one was great because you didn't know what to expect. You know, the sequel sucked. But there was two of them. But The Matrix was a great movie, and I like that. You know, I like things like that. So psychological thrillers, you know, not necessarily murders and things like that. I don't know why people are so fascinated with that, you know. Like books, too. I mean, like, you know, almost every book out there in fiction has to do with killing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're such a violent society. We don't want to admit it, but we are. You know?
We are.
Yeah, we love violence here.
I actually saw Imitation Game, and you might like that because it was a lot of, like, puzzles and games and like,
oh, wow.
strategy. And there was action, I guess, because they were trying to win a war. So,
oh, wow. That's yeah. pretty cool. Who was in it? Anybody?
Benedict Cumberbatch and Keira Knightley.
Oh, well, if Keira's in it, I've got to see it.
There is a lot of talking, though.
Yeah, huh?
Yeah. There's a twist at the end.
Yeah? Okay, well, that sounds good then. Yeah, I don't mind the talking if there's a good plot, you know, if it moves along.
Then you should see Imitation Game.
I will. It hasn't come out yet, though, right?
I don't know. I saw a screener.
Yeah, you saw a screener. Okay. Excuse
me. I think it
might
come out on Christmas. I don't know. I really want to see Unbroken.
Yeah. Yeah, Unbroken. That looks pretty good.
Yeah, but it hasn't been nominated for anything yet.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Well, we'll see. That's Angelina Jolie's movie.
Yeah, and I'm sure that now with all the like publicity about Sony and the emails that were written like about Angelina, that people are going to go see it to see her directing abilities.
Yeah, that's true. And I was going to bring up that Sony thing real quick because the amount of information that they've released is devastating.
It is, and they're going to release more on Christmas.
Yeah, that's what they're saying, you know. And, I mean, those are like people's salaries, social security numbers, emails.
I would rather that be the form of terrorism that's happening than murders.
Yeah.
Like, fine, okay, Korea, like, calm down. It's just a movie, and it's, like, probably not a good one. But if this is what you want to do, they shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah.
We shouldn't know these things.
But. Yeah, no, I mean, that's devastating to a business, to any company.
It is.
And these guys are, like, merciless with what they're doing. And exposing emails and private data and stuff. They're saying that they could, like, destroy a lot of people's credit, you know, steal their identities. Things like that. They've already exposed security numbers of 47,000 people. Hackers have.
Pretty crazy.
Yeah. I know.
Doesn't even seem real. Like, it seems like a movie that we're living in.
I know. It's like you don't want to believe it, huh?
Technological warfare.
Yeah. I know. Did you hear about the slaughter in Pakistan?
Yes.
Wow.
That's...
I mean, the Taliban invaded the school, killed 141 people, most of them children.
Between the ages of 12 and 16.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. They're all the kids of military people
right.
over there. And they were going for the older kids, but they got just everybody.
Yeah, wow. They're probably justifying this by eliminating this future soldiers or something, right? Or revenge or whatever. But they never have good excuses anyway.
No, I mean, it's just awful. It's children.
Yeah. You know, you just, but that's the thing, you know, I mean, these people have no respect for children, for women, for anybody.
No,
you know?
They're just like, it's an attack
anybody
on humanity.
That's not them, that's not like them, is an enemy.
Right.
You know.
I can't wrap my head around that concept, but,
yeah.
you know.
I know, that's.
These
that's
things just, happen and it's.
I know, and it's hard to fathom. I mean, we have, like, school shootings with a couple of dead, and it's devastating to us. Imagine that many kids, you know? I mean, you just imagine showing up there and seeing the scene after that,
oh.
you know? I mean, just bloody kids on top of each other.
No, it's hard to watch the footage.
Yeah. Is there any footage of it?
No, they have some.
I hope not, because I don't want to see it. I don't want to see things like this. Did you ever see the beheadings that they had?
No, I refuse.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Even the photo, like the still photos of it.
Right.
I can't really handle that.
I know. Who wants to see that? You know, it stays seared in your mind forever.
It's just hard to believe that that's a real thing, that it's not a scene in a movie. It's real people doing that right now.
Right.
We're living through the history, and this is just, I don't even.
Right. And
you know what I have liked watching, actually? The military go in Sydney, the footage of that, just because I'm so fascinated by military procedures and, like, how they're so graceful in the way they do everything. And, like, just their techniques and, like, how, like, people, like, I don't know how they're trained, but it's amazing to watch in real life.
Yeah.
Because you see it in these movies and these, you know, military films, but to actually watch them go into the cafe in Sydney is just fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Not seeing the people run and all that, but watching the military is pretty cool.
And it's amazing because they do get trained, but they never really get to use these skills, you know? I mean, these things don't happen in Australia, you know? So they seem to be pretty prepared for that.
Yeah, and now, I mean, people are, you know, obviously concerned that these lone wolves are going to be popping up everywhere.
Right. And all he wanted is just to show the flag, huh? The ISIS flag, and to show, to make a political statement.
Right.
And he managed to do that okay, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. All right. Well, there's still a lot of other stuff here, but I want to get to our guests. First, we have Ty Lopez in the studio. Welcome to the show, Ty.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Yeah, it's great because you were, I mean, you were referred to us by the publicist, and she says we were going to talk about books and reading and stuff. And to me, that's a great close subject to me because I love to read, you know.
Okay.
I always have like five books going on at the same time. Not always finishing all of them, but, you know, but I read that many people don't finish a book when they start.
Yeah,
is
about
that true?
About 17. Last year was the most books purchased per person in the U.S. So about 17 books. But you know, it's not just what you read. I mean, it's not just how much you read. It's what you read and whether you finish. So a lot of people are not quite getting through.
Right.
I'm sure people aren't finishing 17 books a year.
Yeah,
I'm not.
Well, you probably don't have time for that, you know.
I would guess I could make time if I really wanted to, instead of watching the last bit of the Housewives episode. Like, I could turn it off and probably read in my bed. But
right. Well, maybe after this show you'll want to, you know,
maybe.
Because books can really enrich you. And that's encouraging what you said, because I'm really losing hope with all the bookstores closing down and everything.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, well, Amazon's taken. Books are still being put out. Plus, you have e-books and Kindles and all this that allow people to read more. There's been 130 million books published, they say, in history at some point or another. So
really? Wow.
Now, really, the thing, it comes down to, can you filter what you're reading?
Right.
So I say, you know, there was a famous social scientist, Robin Dunbar, and he said, your brain can handle about 150 friendships and acquaintances. So I took that. It's called Dunbar's number. And I took that and I said, well, I wonder if that applies to books. If you could just take 150 of the best books, what would happen to your life if you just read those over and over? So it's kind of like an experiment. People can play with this. I think the reason, if you play that experiment with your own brain, let's say, trying to read more, you have to start by going, what's the reward? So no one's going to read without reward, because then you're just going to watch people watch Real Housewives. But if you realize if you realize books can make you wealthy, like Warren Buffett, who was one time the richest man in the world, still one of the richest, he reads 8 hours a day. Bill Gates.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. He loves to show his little, he's old school. He doesn't have a computer, but he has an old school day timer. And he says, want to look at my day timer? And he flips it and he goes, see, there's nothing in there. You know why? So I can read all day. So yeah, he reads. Bill Gates takes reading vacations. So if I said to people, all right, I have a deal for you. You're going to have $6,000 million if you read more. Most people would say yes. And that's what those guys attribute. Jeff Bezos, who started Amazon, $38 billion, and it didn't take long. He reads all the time. So
But do they start reading after they made the money, or
so that's
before?
The question of correlation and causation, right? Did it make
them? Did they have time to read all those hours?
Warren Buffett at 7 had memorized the book The Valuation of Bonds or Securities by Benjamin Graham. So by 12,
special person.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I mean, it sounds pretty
boring.
Everybody
could be. My point is, we can't all be Warren Buffetts, but like Jim Rhodes says, we can all do a little better than we're doing now. That's the way to think of it.
That's true.
Yeah. That's true, yeah. So you brought your friend with you. I just wanted to introduce you to everybody. Go ahead, get closer to the mic.
All right, hello.
And we have Zach here. You don't have to really lean down or anything. We have a microphone stand that's just not working right.
And Zach has a hat on, so he hits it.
The microphone's a little lower, but just get close to the mic. But you don't
like this close. Is that all right?
Yeah, but you don't have to. Whatever.
Don't eat the mic.
Yeah, I'm just trying to make it easy on you. But,
oh, thank you.
Yeah. So you were asking me something about L.A. Are you out of town?
I'm from North Carolina.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
And you guys have been friends for many years, right?
Yeah,
you
said, since we were 14. So
14. Oh, since you were 14.
Since I was 14.
Years. Wow. Yeah. That's pretty cool. Did you grow up there, too, in North Carolina?
I went there for a few years, played basketball, and we won a state championship together back. And now Zach's in the movie business, film business. So,
oh, wow.
I said, why don't you come to Hollywood, man?
Yeah, what are you doing
in North Carolina?
A little better
than North Carolina.
Although I hear some stuff is happening there as far as film and stuff, right?
It's inexpensive to film there, right?
Right. It was doing pretty well, but a lot of it's gone down to Atlanta, Georgia now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why is that? Do you know?
Just for...
Cheaper?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's amazing how much work is leaving California, though, and going to other places because it's so expensive here.
Right.
You would think the traffic would die down a little bit, but no.
No, huh?
Nope.
No, nothing, huh?
Mm-mm.
Cool. So, Ty, where are you originally from then?
I was actually, I'm one of the few people actually born in L.A.
Very few people.
Go to Long Beach, yeah.
Wow, very
born
cool.
Born in the ghetto.
Yeah.
Although, probably just offended half the audience.
Yeah. Well, Long Beach is nice now, though, right?
It's all right.
Is it still a ghetto?
There's some, I went to visit my dad not too long ago, and I lost touch. I mean, my dad, I didn't grow up with my real dad, so I went and visited him down there, and I found a building where I thought he lived, his old address, and I walked up and I knocked on the door, and it was open, and I could see a screen, and I looked down the hall, and there was a guy sitting, a big, huge Samoan guy sitting on a chair with a shotgun, and he came up to the door and pointed it at me and said, "Why are you here?" And I was like, "I'm looking for my dad," and he's like, "Who's your dad?" I said, "Ernie." He said, "Oh, Ernie moved down the street." It was a drug den, apparently. So, not all Long Beach is like that, but my dad's from some interesting parts of Long Beach. So,
that's cool. So,
nothing will wake you up more than a guy with a shotgun coming straight when you're look. I was kind of putting my hands on the screen, looking in.
Yeah, wow.
Dad, is that you?
Yeah, he was probably freaking out, too.
My dad was gone. My dad moved. My dad's from...
Not your dad, but that guy, the Samoan guy.
I think he thought I was a policeman trying to... knock. I'm like, policemen don't knock on the screen.
Right. Plus, you don't point shotguns at cops.
Oh, man.
Wow. So, did you have a nice childhood there?
I left when I was a little kid. My dad actually went to prison at Terminal Island, which is the island off... Long Beach. There's people don't realize there's a prison there.
Oh, wow.
So when I was born, my mom's like, "When I was pregnant with you, the FBI kicked down the door."
Wow.
And so I remember vaguely a little bit of Long Beach, but I went to San Diego and then I lived a little bit in North Carolina too.
Oh, cool. So. And do you have any siblings or anything?
I have, my dad was married many times, so I have six half brothers.
Oh,
and
wow.
Half sister.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that the dad that was in prison? Or?
Yeah, but he had been married before. He got married after.
So. I see. Okay, cool. Well, we won't get into that. It's probably an uncomfortable topic to talk about.
Right.
But
I'm pretty open. It doesn't bother me too much.
Yeah. So, so you went to high school. What did you do after high school?
So, instead of going to college, I ended up doing what's called an apprenticeship with a guy named Joel Salatin, who back then wasn't that well known. Now he's become pretty world famous. He's one of the guys who pioneered like organic farming and organic sustainable agriculture and grass-fed beef and all that stuff. So I spent 2.5 years on a farm. Then I went and lived with the Amish for 2.5 years.
Why did you do that?
I've been to 51 countries. I'm like an explorer trying to figure out life. So that's probably why I read a lot.
51 countries or states?
Yeah. Countries.
Okay, there are no 51 states.
I've been to the 51st state.
I know.
Which is
Los
Angeles.
But I'm thinking 50 countries, that's a lot of traveling, man.
It is.
Is that all for pleasure?
Mostly I was looking for mentors. You know, I'm big on finding, you got to find people. I did a TED talk and I talked about how the law 33%. So you have to find, you have to spend 33% of your time with people below you. Those are the people you can help, and they also help your self-esteem, realize people are doing worse than you.
Right.
Then you should spend 33% of your time with people that are on your level. Like Mahatma Gandhi, he said, you know, on your rise to the top, it gets lonely, so you need people that are like you. But you, the last 33% is the hard part. You got to spend your time with people that are 20 years ahead of you.
Right.
So I traveled the world trying to find people that were doing big things. So
yeah. Been all now, how do you travel to a new country and start finding someone? I mean, what
that's a good question.
Yeah. Did you have any leads or anything?
Yeah. Usually, if you meet one interesting person, they'll go, oh, go visit my friend in, you know, Tasmania. I was in Australia.
Very like Eat, Pray, Love mixed with CNN, I feel like.
There you go. I need to read that book. I haven't read it.
What?
That's a movie, right? Or a book.
What? That's one book you haven't read.
You know, I read a lot of I tend to find the books that we all read. It's called media bias, and it's a cognitive bias in our brain. So, like, if Amazon shows a book, then everybody buys it. But the best books are usually, like, books nobody – like, the best business book nobody talks about. It's a book by Sam Walton who started Walmart. It's a $5 book called Made in America, but there's no profit for the bookstores. Or nobody talks about that book.
That's true.
But he made $160 billion, and he tells you how he did it. It's a $5 book.
Yeah.
So a lot of this stuff, like Eat, Pray, Love, I should read it. I'm sure it's good. I'm trying to search for the jewels that not everybody reads. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
And besides, that's more like a womanly book, you know? I mean no, come on. I mean,
okay, well, I'll be honest, I didn't finish it.
Okay.
I started it. I got through like the first country, then the second country. The third country was really boring.
Really?
The movie was good.
Yeah. But it is a chick flick, you know? I mean, come on. You know, it's not
amazing.
A story for guys.
It was a work of art.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying, you know,
uh-huh.
That's maybe why he didn't read it. It's probably why I didn't read it.
Well, this is your homework, guys.
Well, okay. The way I look at it, I tell people, you know, people ask if I read a book a day. People ask if I speed read. I'm like, well, I have built up that skill over the years, but really you should just focus on smart reading. So if you're reading a book, there's no rule of physics that you have to read the whole thing. Just
right.
There's 130 million books you have to get to in your life. So if you don't like a chapter, skip it. And that's a lot
true.
Of reason why people don't finish. I'm like, who
right.
cares? There's no rule.
I know. You get to a chapter that's slow or something,
yeah.
and then you go, you know what? I'm just going to give this up. But you're right. There's more coming in the book.
Yeah, just skip it. I skip yeah. all around.
I feel a little bit like a quitter, though, when I don't finish a book.
Yes, yeah. And that's very common, but I tell people, think about it. If you met somebody in person, like the author, you wouldn't want them to lecture you nonstop. You might talk. You might skip around in your conversation, right? So you can treat a book like that. You can put it on your bookshelf and pick it up later. I just look for what's relevant to my life today.
Right.
And I think that helps me read a lot faster and remember. You won't remember stuff that is not relevant to your life. If a chapter is boring, skip it. Sometimes I was just reading a book called Where Good Ideas Come From. The introduction is so good.
Uh-huh.
Just the intro before you're in chapter one that I just said, I'm putting this one down. I'm going to reread the intro, put it on my shelf. I'll pick this one up in a month. So I think you should strike friendships. The thing is, not to go off on a diatribe, it's not books. Books are just a vehicle. What you want is a good life, right?
Right.
So if there was a famous scientist, Richard Dawkins, he said, why do humans have big brains? It's because we can simulate the future without living it. So a dog, for example, my friend has a stupid golden retriever. All that golden retriever could do is think about today. They're not thinking about the future at all, and they only can go by instinct. But humans can go, well, like Warren Buffett says, we only learn by mistakes, but they don't have to be yours. So books help you simulate the future and take shortcuts. You want to spend 30 years trying to build your own business? Try it all on your own. Then you got to do trial. But if you read somebody else's errors and you go, okay, I learned from Sam Walton's mistake there. That, like Sam Walton, when he was starting out before Walmart, he built a huge business as a young kid making $100,000 a year in the 40s. Imagine how much that was. But he didn't read the lease.
Right.
So after 2 years, the owner of the building said, thanks for building this store up. And he took it from Sam Walton. So Sam Walton said, that was lesson number one. Read the lease before you sign it. So you and I, if you're going to start a business, 90% of Americans want to start a business. So we live in an entrepreneurial country.
Right.
You learn from that, I'm going to read the lease.
Right.
And now you don't waste 3 years of your life building a business that someone takes from you.
That's true.
So if you look at books like that, books become more of your allies and your mentors and your friends.
Right. And, I mean, there's just so much wisdom and knowledge in books.
Yes.
And, you know, many people don't take advantage of it. You know, yes. I mean, I know some people that just, they can't pick up a book no matter what. You know, maybe they can read a magazine or a newspaper, but they just don't commit to a book.
Yeah, that's and educational system. Our educational system burn us all out. Like, educational system, I'm not anti-school. I dropped out of college. I didn't go to college.
And you seem to be doing just fine.
Depends who you compare me to. I'm alive.
I mean, he's traveled to so many countries. He's got to have some kind of money, you know?
And knowledge.
And knowledge, too, yeah. But, I mean...
books will make you $1 million. That's what I tell people. You want to be a millionaire? Read.
Yeah.
Everybody will...
I'll start.
There you go.
Done.
Yeah.
Read the right books,
there you
too.
Go.
You're speaking my language.
Yeah. Yeah, and read the right books, too. Like not Eat, Pray, Love. That won't make you rich.
All right. If you told me the right ones to read to make $1 million, I'll do it right now. I'll go home and do that the rest of the day.
So if you go... So I have on my website, I list what I think are the top 150 best books. So you can just pick through...
Okay.
Through there. TaiLopez.com if you want to check it out.
Yeah, everybody, check out TaiLopez.com. That's T-A-I Lopez.com. And there's a lot of information on Tai, and you can follow us and everything. 67 Steps, what's that about?
So, you know, traveling these 51 countries, and I probably read 3,000 or 4,000 or 5,000 books, and I had 5 mentors, so 3 millionaire, multimillionaire guys and 2 more at the billion-dollar level. And so I'm an investor, so I buy companies. So I keep a portfolio of maybe 5 or 10 companies that I own. I just bought 2 companies this year. And so I have to get people to run them.
Right.
So the hard part is people coming out of college, even PhDs and stuff that I hire, they're not trained holistically. They don't get the big picture. So I decided I had to build my own training system for my people that run businesses. So what I did was... I said, what's everything I've learned from somebody way smarter than me? And I wrote it on a board. It took me years, actually, and I got 300 principles. And I was like, you know what? How am I going to teach 300 big principles? It's too much. So I said, I got to condense it. So I read this study out of University College London, which said the average person takes around 66 days to change their habits. Right?
Right.
If you're smoking, you want to stop, you want to lose weight, you got to stick to it for at least 66 days before your brain starts reprogramming.
Wow. So that's a long time. I mean, they say like 3 weeks or something.
Yeah,
but
that's
obviously
been disproven.
That doesn't matter.
It's too short.
Yeah.
People, it used to be 28 days, they thought, but they did new research on people. And so, So what I did, I said, let me take all 300 of those success principles that I learned and just put them. And I didn't like 66. I thought it was a weird. My cousin said, sounds too much like 666. Nobody in America is going to like that. So I added 1 for good luck. So I added 67. So it's a 1 video concept a day, and people just go through it. And yeah, it's amazing. I'm on track to have about 1 million positive comments on it, and people that have gone through and left comments in it. In the upcoming year. So
wow,
cool.
Very cool.
There's not a lot of good stuff. I'm amazed. We have such a bit, you know, people are saying the world's falling apart. And there's some truth to that, but I will tell you this. People, IQs are highest they've ever been in history. People want to know. It's just us here in Hollywood, not us specifically, but the media is so strong. Mm-hmm. That is leading people off track without even meaning to. So if you can point people in the right direction, people are hungry to know. It's not as bad as people think. It's just – it's like Nelson Mandela. Education, knowledge will take a poor boy from a little village and make him lead a nation. That's what happened to Nelson Mandela. And all those future Nelson Mandela and Bill Gates and all that, they're just running around here. And right now they're listening to – you know, Tupac, and they're watching. What's that movie we saw? Chris Rock movie?
Top 5.
Oh, I don't know about that movie.
Really?
I want to see it.
Oof.
Wait for a free screener. Don't.
Yeah.
Don't spend 60 minutes.
I love Chris Rock's stand up, but, woof. He may not win an Academy Award in this lifetime.
Yeah. I know. His movies have not been that successful, any of them. But he's one of the funniest guys ever.
Oh, yeah. He's funny. But yeah. Anyway, I'm saying there's nothing wrong with doing some mindless, stupid entertainment just for fun. But you got to balance it out. You know, life. Seneca, this famous philosopher from thousands of years ago, he said, life isn't short. We just don't know how to use the time we have. Most people just pass time. So stuff, I like spend a couple hours a day doing something, see a dumb movie, but you're awake for 16 hours a day. You can't spend most of your life just passing time. I read somewhere that the average person in the world spends 12% of their time, their whole life, doing something that they care about and they like. Most people, 88% of their life is just nothing. You don't want it that way. It's better to spend 88% of your life in what you have flow, what you like, what moves you, and then 12% on dumb stuff. 12% on Chris Rock movies.
There you go. So, I mean, that fascinates me. How do you finish a book a day? How many hours does it take you?
You know, now I can read really fast because I've been doing it so long. But I tell people start. I mean, I can do, depend on the book. Really complex. I got challenged. My friend's a famous professor. He wrote all the books at Harvard. He gave me his textbook, said, see if you can read this in a day. And that one took me 8 hours. I was on a plane, so I was able to. But most books I can read in maybe half hour. But
how do you do? I mean, half hour? I mean, what, like a 200-300-page book?
Well, you know, I have this. I have a big place in Hollywood Hills, and I do parties every once in a while, and I have this door guy, this bodyguard. He used to be Kim Kardashian's bodyguard, and he's huge. He's 6'7", 300 pounds. And his name's Rome, and I said, Rome, how much can you bench press? And he said, you know, I bench around I used to bench 550 pounds.
What?
So he said, you know, now I'm getting older, Ty, I can only do 480. So I said to him, how much did you start with? And he said, oh, just the bar. I started when I was young. I was, you know, not that strong. 45-pound bar. So it's the same principle with reading. If you do it long enough, if you bench press with your brain, you'll get better and better. So the first book's going to be hard, and that's why there's not many Arnold Schwarzenegger, because the first time Arnold Schwarzenegger tried, it was hard.
Right.
And it's you want a six-pack in your body, but I tell people, get a six-pack brain. It'll be a lot better to have a six-pack. So you just do it the same way, same principle.
Wow. That's amazing to me because, I mean, it takes me like weeks to finish a book, and I've been reading all my life, you know, but I think I'm reading also, you know, like word by word.
Right.
Like, you know, when they talk about speed reading, they tell you don't read word by word, read them as like chunks and things like that, you know, or just scan through it or something like that. But I figure, you know, it's like for me, it's most enjoyable when I read, you know, slowly.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, consequently, I'm finding myself reading a few books at the same time because I can't wait to finish
one.
Can't
wait to get to the...
Yeah.
Well, what you could do, I say you should divide books up. I divide three types of books. So in the morning, I try to read a classic book because I figure we see about 2,000 ads a day, 2,000 people try to get us to do something for them, make them rich. You know, when you listen to Rihanna, Justin Bieber, whatever music, Adele, it's great, but you're making them rich, right? That's how when you go to McDonald's or whatever people, most of us, the average American saves $1 out of every $100 they make.
Right.
99 makes somebody else rich.
Right.
Your rent, your bank, if you're paying a mortgage. So in the morning, you got to clear your mind just like you take a shower. So after breakfast, just read some old classic book. It can be, I tend to read nonfiction, but you could read a fiction, but read something good like Shakespeare or Socrates or Darwin. And it sounds like, oh, I'm not going to enjoy those, but those books are good. If you just read just a few sentences even.
Yeah.
And then during the day, I read like a how-to book, whatever business or you're trying to get good at, some skill. And then at night, though, you can read slow. I read biographies at night. Mm. Put you to sleep, and you don't have to try to speed read. And I tell people, you know, you want the biggest trait you have to be successful, you have to have courage.
Right.
And the best way to get courage is read about other people who had courage. Like that Louis, you're talking about that book, Unbroken. That movie, isn't it Unbroken, the Angelina Jolie?
Based on the book, right.
That book, I read that. It's you know, he crashes. He spends, I think, 30 or 40 days out in the middle of the Pacific. No water, no food. Attacked by a great white shark and shot at by Japanese and eventually tortured in a POW camp. And he said in the midst of that, because he had prepared for it, he was the happiest he almost ever had been. So you can use courage, preparation, all the stuff that you can get through books to prepare. Like John Wooden, the UCLA coach, he said, prepare for the rainy day, because for every one of us, a rainy day will come financially. Or yeah, literally, you looked out the window, the rainy day.
Like, is it still?
No. Yeah, there you go. So that, you know, I was supposed to interview that guy. He was 97 years old. I had an interview set up because I own the second biggest book club in the world, biggest book review club. Oprah has the biggest one, and I have the second. And so I was like, I got to interview this guy. And he died one day before I was supposed to interview him.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Sad, yeah. Wow. I was like, this guy is a real man. I want to read this guy. Anybody who survives BOW camp and Olympic athlete is crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, and some books that, you know, sometimes they're unexpected, like knowledge and stuff, you know. Like, for example, I picked up the book by Gene Simmons from the
oh, I love that book.
I want to read that. It's on my list.
Yeah, it's called Me, Inc.
Yeah.
And it's the best book ever. I mean, he's got some lessons, you know. I mean, you know, over the years, I've read a lot of books, talked to people, learned lessons and stuff. But he's got some great ones, you know. Like he says, I don't spend on anything I don't need. And this concept never even entered my mind. I mean, I spend money on anything. And, you know. And so it sort of like touched a point with me, you know. And ever since then, I started living like, do I really need this?
Right.
Should I really buy it?
Right.
And things like that. So even
see,
with someone
simulation.
Who's not expected, right. Even when a book from someone that's not expected, I mean, he's an entertainer and everything, but he's a big entrepreneur too, you know. And so I had a lot to learn, and I highly recommend it to you guys if you want to read.
And also read the Ozzy Osbourne one. That is so
really?
I forget what it's called. I Am Ozzy or something. That book is so funny that if you're on an airplane and I gave it to my cousin. I said, you want to look? You're going to look weird on this flight. She's like, why? I never laugh out loud if I'm alone. I gave her that book. She said the whole plane was turning around because when you spontaneously laugh on a plane, no one can see you're reading. They're just like,
right,
got a crazy one back here. The other good Hollywood one that's so readable. I've probably sold more. Sometimes when I recommend books, they sell out on Amazon. But read Jerry Weintraub's book. When I stop talking, you'll know I'm dead. Or something. When I stop talking, you know I'm dead. So Jerry Weintraub's one of the most powerful guys here in Hollywood. He did Ocean's 11. He did Karate Kid. He managed Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra and John Denver and all this. And it is one of the greatest, most entertaining books. You will laugh. And it's inspirational. So you have time to tell one story from this book?
Of course, yeah.
So he wakes up at 26 years old, and he was married in New York. He had always dreamed from a little boy of doing something in Hollywood, but hadn't pulled anything off. He says, I'm going to take Elvis Presley out on the road. Now, Elvis back then was like, you know, Justin Bieber and Lady Gaga all wrapped into one in terms of how popular he was. So he takes his wife says, are you crazy? You're going to call Elvis Presley and take Elvis Presley on the road. This was his dream. He woke up from a dream. He's going to be his new manager. Now, Elvis had stopped touring at that point, was just doing movies. His wife says, you're 26, you're nobody, and we're $70,000 in debt, which was a lot in the 50s.
Yeah.
That's like being $500,000 or more in debt. So he picks up the phone, and the manager was the colonel. So Jerry Weintraub calls the colonel, and he says, early in the morning, he heard that the colonel woke up early. So he said, hi, my name is Jerry Weintraub. You don't know who I am, but I want to take Elvis Presley out on the road. And the colonel said, who? And hung up. So he called back the next morning. Same thing. Hung up on him. 365 days straight, he called every morning.
Wow.
Finally, their manager, the colonel, said, and I don't know if the colonel was trying to get rid of him, but he said, you still want to take my boy out on the road? And he said, yes. He said, meet me in the morning with a check for $1 million made out to Elvis Presley, and you can have him for a tour.
Wow.
Now, 26, back then, $1 million is still a lot of money. It was a lot of money in the 50s.
Wow.
He had no money, so he got on the phone, called all night, 8 hours, friends of friends of friends of friends, finally found this radio station owner who said, I love Elvis. I'll front you the $1 million. Just pay me back from the tour proceeds. So Jerry flew to Las Vegas, walked into a bank, said there should be a wire here for $1 million. Sure enough, the bank, by the way, the bank teller thought he was insane. She said, you're going to have to talk to my manager. You want a check for $1 million made out of. But he did, and he took Elvis out on the road, and he made $10 million from that tour. And from there, he got a call from another. You were asking how you go from one country to the other? Once he took Elvis on the road, he got a call from another a very unknown singer named Frank Sinatra. He said, I heard what you did with Elvis. I want you to take me out on the road. And he's become not only to become one of the wealthiest people in America, but he also lived one of the most charmed lives. So perseverance. Everybody wants to have a good life, but not most people. I know I wouldn't be able to call 365 days straight.
Yeah,
but
yeah, that's persistence.
But at the end, that's why I say if you get in an airplane and the pilot says, hey, got good news. This is my first flight. You get right off that airplane. You want a pilot who's been through a flight simulator before. And that's the same thing with you and I. If we read these books, Gene Simmons, if you read Jerry Weintraub, you build up knowledge that you can use and not waste 10 years of your life making mistakes. Like you said, you learned how to not spend money all the time on...
Yeah, and things I don't need.
I just added all of those books to my Amazon cart.
Okay.
I'm speaking your language. Capricorn's a $1 million. I'm going to keep going. I don't only talk about money. I think you have to have health, wealth, love, and happiness, all four. I just wrote an article. I have a book of the day summary, and I wrote one about this, how to be a billionaire. And it was by a Donald Trump book. And I know a guy, though, that's a billionaire, and he's let his health go, and now he's completely bedridden and in his 40s. He has a private 747, but he's so sick he can't use it. So on your way to getting wealth, you can't forget about health. Right. Because then, if I said I'll trade, you could trade lives with him. Nobody would trade. Even the poorest person, you don't want to. What are you going to do with $1 billion? So you got to have that, and you have to have also. There's a famous scientist, Daniel Kahneman. He won a Nobel Prize at Princeton, and he says, also, if on your way to getting wealthy, you get lonely, you alienate all your friends, then the money doesn't help you. Money can buy. The science is in. Money can buy you happiness up to a point.
Yeah.
If you make less than 75 grand, and the average person in America makes 51 grand. So if you're making less than 75 grand under a brain scanner, they will find you have lower levels of happiness. But so above 75 grand, you don't get as much kick per dollar, extra dollar. You make some. Someone making 10 million, they say, is generally a little happier than someone making 150 grand. But the main thing I tell people, get to at least 75 grand because that's what's been shown clearly. So you got to get to about 6,000 a month. Some people need to quit their jobs. Some people need to do better in the job that they're already in, you know.
Right. Yeah. Wow. And that's what you learn from books and stuff, you know. So that's pretty cool.
Who knew?
Yeah.
That's in there. I'll read them now.
Yeah. But what's amazing is I think more books are read that are fiction.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And
I don't like
so
fiction.
Which means for entertainment and stuff.
Yes.
But what we're saying here is read books for the knowledge, for the information.
Right. Well, break it up. Read some entertainment. There's no life's not.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Especially if you're reading three a day.
You don't have to finish all three a day.
Right.
That's true.
Women actually read 80% of books purchased by women are fiction.
Yeah.
Which there's not necessarily anything wrong with, but I look at it on a case by case. There's a dumb fiction.
Yeah.
And there's good fiction.
Right.
So read the good fiction if that's your thing. You can learn from good fiction, but...
Yeah. And I think that's because women are like more into relationships and stories and things like that.
And it's also a way of escaping. It's like they'll read a fiction book instead of watching a movie, for instance.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Men like sports. Evolutionary psychology is one of the top things I tell people to read. There's this guy named Dr. David Buss. He's a very esteemed scientist. And a lot of these things are not even only human traits. If you take these kind of monkeys, I forget what they're called, vervain monkeys, they did a test on little baby monkeys. The male monkeys, they put dolls and little play cars in front, and then the female monkeys, they put dolls and cars. Most of the female monkeys pick up the dolls and start picking at the face. Women are more one-on-one facial oriented and like looking at, and the boys, the little monkeys, grab the the cars and start pushing them around.
Whoa.
So some of this is built into our us. I mean, you know,
yeah.
You can't be too sexist. There's women that are completely opposite and men who love dolls. So
yeah,
you know,
depends what kind
of
dolls, right?
Overgeneralize too or oversimplify.
You don't mean the inflatable dolls or anything.
That too.
That too.
Yeah. That's exactly what he means.
Yeah. And is your book club reading list, is it divided into, like, you know, self-help and love and...
Yeah.
And
health, wealth, love, and happiness. So I try to put one in each category.
Cool.
So health book I read recently is called Diet Cults. And it's fascinating because the guy says, look, everybody wants to prove that their diet is the thing. Vegan, paleo, you know, raw, whatever it is. And he says the truth is, and this is his opinion, this gets me a lot of flack because he said people get – they're not even in love with the diet. It's almost like a cult. They just want to say they're in this thing. And he said if it was true that one diet was perfect for all humans, there'd be clear science to show. But there isn't because humans are adaptable.
Mm.
So – He says we should be agnostic, not religious about our diet. Anyway, it's an interesting book, and I see it. You meet people that are vegetarian or vegan or paleo that love meat. And the thing is, what made Charles Darwin, who came up, you know, with modern evolutionary theory, so famous is he always tried to disprove himself. So Charlie Munger, one of the favorite guys I read, he's a self-made billionaire, Warren Buffett's partner. He reads all the time. He says, you got to try to disprove yourself.
Mm.
All of us, whatever we believe, if you meet people, whether it's politics or religion or diets, people just want to look for the research that backs up whatever they want to say. You got to look – if you want to be a smart person, you have to try to disprove yourself and not be afraid to be wrong and change, you know?
Right.
So this book makes a good point that I don't know what diet is perfect, but you should experiment – a lot. I interviewed a guy. I get to interview some of the authors now. It's pretty cool. And there's a book called Inheritance. And this is what I believe. He says in the future, what the research is showing is that there will never be one diet perfect for everybody. He's a doctor. And he says, like, I have people – most people should eat fruit. It's healthy for you in general. But he says, I have some people that have fructose intolerance. One apple will kill them.
Wow.
So he said if you just take the generalized advice and they eat, you know, like the USDA says, a couple pieces of fruit a day, they'll be dead.
Right.
So the truth is in the future we'll be able to swab our mouth. This isn't that far away. You'll spit in a little cup. You'll send it off to a laboratory and it'll come back and it'll say you're lactose intolerant. You shouldn't eat much fruit. You should eat a lot of sweet potatoes and stuff like that.
I have a friend that recently did a blood test and it showed her all of that.
Yeah.
It was $1,200.
Yeah. Wow.
But she now knows that she cannot drink wine, which is really sad for her.
Mm-hmm.
And she can't have donuts.
She can have donuts.
No, that's
no
really
wine.
Sad for her.
She can have rice. That's about it.
Oh, God.
But that's cool to know.
Yeah.
Personally, that's the reason why different diets get people so into them, because one person tries veganism and that matches their body. So they become a disciple and tell everybody. But there's plenty of people out there. I have a relative in my family. I won't say who. He was a professional athlete level fighter, like boxer, UFC guy. And he decided, he read somewhere that he should be a fruitarian, just eat fruit mostly.
Uh-huh.
And he had all this science. He's like, gorillas are big and they only eat fruit. And I just watched him go from this big muscular guy to just like fading away. And I was like, are you looking in the mirror? And he was just like, no, I'm sticking to this diet. So.
Wow.
One of the cognitive biases in our brain, there's 25 that make us make mistakes, and one of them is called consistency bias, meaning once people choose a path, they say, ooh, I'm Republican, or ooh, I'm Democrat, or ooh, I'm vegan, or whatever it is, your thing, then we shut down our mind to opposite truth that could benefit us and show us, hey, stop eating 9 bananas a day.
Yeah,
it's not working. Look in the mirror. You look like you were a pro athlete, and now you look like you're fading, and you know you look like Ebenezer Scrooge.
Just, yeah, you got to be open to new things. You
yes.
can't just stay stubborn.
And that's hard with our brain.
Right.
Did you hear that, Zach? I threw an Ebenezer Scrooge because it's almost Christmas.
that's
trying to be relevant.
Yeah. Well, Zach, how about you? Do you read a lot too?
No, have
you
been influenced by him at all? Ty keeps me around to make sure he stays balanced. I think reading's overrated.
We should use that lower 33%.
Yeah.
Got it. I understand this.
Zach actually does read. I saw him getting an Amazon. He bought an Amazon book. Amazon. Jeff Bezos, you owe me. I've turned a lot of people on, even Zach. What book were you reading?
Because I didn't read until I got around this.
He's file. Reading, what, Jackie Gleason I saw you reading?
Yeah, I've got Jackie Gleason's biography. This one isn't one to brag about. It's Greg Gutfeld's latest book, Not Cool, The Hipster Elite and Their War on You. I really like that one.
Uh-huh. Zach likes politics.
I just got that Sam Walton book too, so I'm going to read that one.
I'm putting it in my cart. Yeah. It's also $7. You're wrong.
It's seven. All right, I'm sorry.
Then, what's the emotional intelligence?
Yeah.
That's really I just bought that one 2.0, right? Emotional intelligence 2.0.
Okay,
yeah,
that one
is pretty good too.
I tell people try to read if you can. You don't have to do a book a day, but try one or two books a month.
Right.
And here's the deal, what I say, set a timer. So if you buy two books that hopefully can enrich your life, not just if you want to read entertainment, that's fine. Get them and say, I got 2 weeks to read this. And then once the 2 weeks is up, put it on your bookshelf, no matter how far or not far you are in the book, and move on. You got to keep moving on.
Right.
You got to move on in books because it'd be better in your life that you read 150 amazing books but not all at once over your lifetime, then, you know, you get stuck on one book, which is what people do. They get stuck for months. I see people and they're like, I can't. I don't like the last chapter. I'm like, well, it's kind of like what you said. You feel like cheating.
Yeah.
But you're not cheating. You already gave the author the money. He's good.
Yeah.
It's like if I go see a movie, I have a friend. He's such a genius. This kid, I do a lot of consulting for top, you know, huge billionaire. Yeah. But this kid's he's 26 and he makes about $300,000 a month.
Wow.
Right?
A month.
Yeah, a month.
Dude, what?
Wow.
We're all internet entrepreneurs. That's what my kind of world is.
Well, that's.
Yeah,
I'm developing an app.
I have a friend making $1 million a day online. What
Stop
do you think
it
of
right
that?
Now. Yeah. Who is that? And what
is he doing? What is his address? Is he single?
I'm picking you as my mentor now. All right. Well, listen, we got to wrap up.
Yeah.
We're already running over time. Everybody, check out Ty Lopez, TailOpez.com. You can find out everything about him and recommended books and everything. I see you also have a podcast. Do you want to promote that?
It's just Ty Lopez, Grand Theory of Everything show. I'm at Twitter. I got a big Twitter, at Ty Lopez. And YouTube. I put a lot of stuff. I've got a growing, huge, pretty big Twitter and YouTube. So it's youtube.com/Ty Lopez. But the best thing you can do is go to my website and join my free book summaries, because one easy way to read faster is have someone else read them for you.
That's
so I summarize
Does that
books.
Count?
What? There's no rules.
Okay.
Yeah, if
no
you
rules.
Get the information, you get the knowledge.
Exactly.
Signing up.
If
That's
you make $1 million in your bank account, you won't care how you got that.
Ty, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
We'll have to bring you back. You're definitely full of a lot of ideas and everything. Zach, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, yeah. I've got a lot of stuff to promote. I'll come back.
Okay, yeah. We'll have to do that. All right, everybody. Jen, thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.